Thank you very much. We are thrilled that you are here. We've got a lot of visitors that are on a fall break, and so we've got some family that's in, and some of our families are out. We got a couple college kids that are back, and so it is great to see our faces back with us. So thank you for being part. Okay, we have been in the midst of a study of the fruit of the Spirit. And I mentioned about two weeks ago, I went on vacation and thought for some reason I had missed a Sunday, and I really didn't miss a Sunday. And I thought when I got back, I was to do the last one on self-control, and we were done. And so I preached on self-control, and then Michael caught me Monday and said, you know, we missed two of them. And so this is the last fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about. It's not the last in the order, but it's the last one that we're going to talk about in our series. And it's one that I find interesting, and it's one that I've wrestled with, partly because it's a weird word, and we'll talk about that word in a second. But first, let me describe to you one of my friends who I consider a gentle giant. Okay, so this guy, I think I could touch the top of his head if I stretched. And thankfully, he's bald-headed, so I don't have to go up above his hair. But, I mean, so he's this tall. When he walks through a door, a normal door frame, he kind of turns a little bit. And I think the reason he turns a little bit is not because he doesn't fit through the door, but there have probably been moments in his life when he's walked through a non-standard door and probably got stuck. And so he kind of turns at every door he walks through. He's a gentle giant. He's quiet and he's kind and he's soft-spoken. And I've watched him when his wife has been going through some difficult moments, just so gently with a hand that could cover my entire face, gently wipe off her tears. And I think of him as one of the most gentle men that I've ever met in my life. But yet I've also seen that same man who, when I am standing in the midst of a circle and you get a rowdy fellow that comes and he wants money from the preacher, and the preacher says, I smell a few things on you that I know if I give you money, you're just going to go get some more of that stuff, if you understand what I'm saying. And they get mad and they get in my face and they start yelling, and this quiet giant stands next to me with his arms folded and he just looks, and that guy quiets right up and I don't have any more trouble. And my guess is if that guy would have got out of hand, that my friend could have easily just grabbed him by the scruff of his neck, picked him up, and tossed him 20 feet. He's that strong. But yet he's kind, and he's loving, and he's gentle. And this word gentle is kind of along that line. It's this idea of gentleness, but it's not the idea of wimpiness. You know, sometimes we think of if you're gentle, then you're wimpy, that you got no strength and you got no power and you're just this kind-hearted, soft-spoken little Mr. Rogers kind of guy. Not our Mr. Rogerses, but Mr. Rogers in his neighborhood. And I don't think that's the idea behind this word at all. Because the word that's used here in the fruit of the Spirit is a word that gets translated three different ways in the New Testament. And what's intriguing is whenever you get a word that's translated three different ways in the rest of the New Testament, you got to kind of figure it out by the context of what Jesus is saying or what Paul is saying or what Peter is saying. And the word for gentle can sometimes be translated meek. In fact, you're going to see that when Jesus gives the Beatitudes and he's going to say, blessed are those who are meek. That it can also be translated humble. It can be translated gentle and meek and humble and maybe even occasionally lowly, but not soft and not wimpy. What's interesting is one of the characters in the Bible that is described as gentle is Jesus. And I never think of him as wimpy. I mean, I never think of Jesus as just this soft, kind guy. Now, was he loving and was he kind? Of course he was. We get these beautiful images with Jesus and children. We get the images of Jesus and lepers and Jesus of lame and Jesus with women whose lives have been forever altered by whatever trouble they're in. And you see this comforting, loving, tear-wiping Savior. But then I also see other moments. You see at least once and possibly twice in the New Testament where Jesus cleanses the temple. And when he cleanses the temple, he cracks the whip and he barks a few lines. But yet he's still called gentle. Then he'll pronounce the seven woes to the Pharisees. He'll look at this group of religious elite that think they've got it all figured out. And he'll look at them and with anger and with frustration and with probably some heated words will say, woe are you for these things. And then here's the same guy who can carry a cross all the way up to Golgotha, or at least most of the way, until Simon takes over. And the idea of looking at Jesus as this gentle pushover, which is often what we think in regard to gentleness, is a huge mistake. Because I don't think of Jesus being a pushover. And for those who don't know who I was describing Bart Triplett. And for those who know Bart, I don't think Bart's a pushover. But gentle is important. Gentleness does few things. And this is where looking at that word from other places appears. One of the things gentleness does is it's designed to help us receive or implant the Word of God. Just hear this passage before we even talk about it. James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness. Again, here's our word, with gentleness, some of your translations may say. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Then I think the place we need to start when we start addressing this idea of what it means to be gentle and what it means to have the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness is one of the first things it does is it means we're open to being controlled by something greater than ourselves. See, some of you are horsemen and horsewomen, and you've got a horse that you control with a bit and a bridle. And I could sit on that horse, and that horse would look at me like, you ridiculous city boy, I'm going to take you for a ride, and I'm going to kick you off. Now, somebody else could get on that horse, and they would know exactly what to do because they could use the reins, and they could do whatever needed to be done to get that horse to go from A to B in whatever form they needed to. Now, that horse is way bigger than whoever's riding it. But yet it's controlled, and it's led by something greater than itself, and so it understands its role. And the person who is gentle understands something greater controls it. See, the more I think about us being gentle people, being gentle men, and being gentle women, is we do that because we're controlled by God, and in being controlled by God, we have opened ourselves up so that He can plant the right things in us. And that starts with His Word and what He's got to say. And so the idea is, how are we ever going to be all that God wants us to be unless we're gentle enough to receive what God wants to give? Because so often we have this spirit of self-rule. We have this spirit that says, I'm going to do what I want to do, and here's what I want to do, and it's going to go along this line. And God may be saying, and He's been saying this all through our study on the fruit of the Spirit, is God may be saying, here's what I want, but we're going to get centered on what we want, and in the midst of that, we get lost in it. And part of gentleness, at least if we use the word throughout the New Testament, is this idea of letting God lead and guide and control. But then I think gentleness is designed to impact the weak. And maybe this is where we understand it the most and where it's the easiest to see it, is gentleness is essential for healthy community life. I don't think we can have a functioning, healthy body of Christ in this place unless a whole bunch of us are gentle to each other. Because over and over again, gentleness is extolled. And often when love is talked about, gentleness goes with it. Just hear a couple of passages. First from Ephesians. Therefore, prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now notice patience in the midst of that list of stuff, humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another. We'll come back and talk about that in a second. Or this passage from Colossians chapter 3. Again, you've heard both Michael and I use this numerous times in the midst of our fruit of the Spirit study. Put them on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, hearts. Sorry, I'm quoting one version, reading another. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, there's our word for gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And then he's going to get to verse 14 and he's going to say, and above all things, put on love, which binds everything together. So what's interesting is Paul's going to talk about this idea of forbearance and forgiveness that goes with gentleness, and it's critical when it relates to you and I together. Because let's be honest, there are going to be times that we tick each other off. There are going to be times when I say something you may not like. And there are going to be times when I forget to return a phone call as quick as I should. And there are going to be times that, like Sabrina, where are you? She's at the back. She's running PowerPoint for me. I'm in trouble with Sabrina because I programmed in on my phone that at 4:30 on Friday to go turn on the coffee pot. And I promised Sabrina last week, I'll turn on the coffee pot so it, if you've been in our office, the coffee pot sounds like a Bigfoot in the forest. And so we decided to turn it off so it doesn't scare us. And I forgot to plug it in, and I get to church and I see Sabrina over here making coffee, and I think, oh man, Sabrina needs to be gentle with me. And thankfully, she only yelled a few times, and then she got over it. But gentleness is important, because the truth is we are all human. We're all going to mess up. And there are going to be moments I hurt you, and there are going to be moments you hurt me. And most of those moments, at least I hope, are insignificant on a broader scale. But that's when we need gentleness. Because anytime God's people are around each other, forgiveness needs to be around each other too. There's a phrase that I've always remembered. I read it probably 30 years ago now. Milton Jones wrote about EGRs. And if you don't know what an EGR is, I'm going to tell you. They're extra grace required. Now, do you know any people in your life that are extra grace required? Don't look at your spouse. That'll just get you in trouble. If you don't know somebody who needs extra grace, the odds are that person might be you. But in the midst of that, we all know people like that, where we've just got to be gentle, and we've got to be kind, and we've got to be loving. See, we need to be patient with each other when we stumble off. Because occasionally that happens. Occasionally there are moments when we get misguided or we get led away by sin. And when that happens in my life, I need at that moment people who love me enough to do exactly what Paul says in Galatians 6. Here's what he writes. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Okay, now notice he doesn't say, just let them keep on doing what they're doing and just love them. He says, restore them in a spirit of gentleness and keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. That I think what Paul is trying to say is this attribute of gentleness, this fruit of the Spirit that comes out of God's people that all of us need to have in regard to each other, sometimes not only involves the day-to-day frustrations of life, but may involve me getting off track and off the road that leads to life. And when that happens, when those moments come, and what happens is our flesh wants to blast, right? I mean, if somebody kind of gets off the road or off the path, our tendency is, you need to fix this, and you need to get your stuff right, and you need to get your ducks lined up, and you better quit, and we tend to point a finger and bark. But not love and be gentle. See, I get this idea that we're supposed to be patient and we're supposed to be gentle and we're supposed to help those who are stumbling, and maybe they're stumbling because of sin, or maybe they're stumbling because they don't quite get the whole Word of God at times and they get a little misguided, or maybe they're stumbling in some other form, and what we often do is we blast instead of love, and we may be absolutely right and absolutely wrong at the same time. Okay, so you probably get tired of stories about me. When I was in the ninth grade, the preacher blasted me from the pulpit. Why I became a preacher, I have no idea. But I'm sitting next, okay, Nikki, cover your ears. Okay, I'm sitting next to Kimberly Baker. Every now and then Kim watches our worship, which I think is kind of cool. That's a whole nother story that you probably don't want to hear. But I'm sitting next to Kim Baker, and I've always had a little thing for Kim Baker. And so I slide just a little bit closer like little ninth grade boys do. And she slides the other way. And so I slide just a little bit closer. And Mr. Hearn, who is the preacher, he looks at me and he says, Brother Austin, if you don't get your hands away from that girl, you're going straight to hell. Well, I didn't touch her. I mean, He was absolutely right, but absolutely wrong. And how often do we do the same thing? How often do we look at those who are wrestling within our church, those who are struggling with sin, those who are going through circumstances that maybe we can't fathom, and we come off like a bull in a china shop, or we get out into the world and we see people that are different than us, or that believe different than us, or politic different than us, or do something else different than us, and we just unload the hammer? That's not a spirit of gentleness. That's not a spirit of God's people that goes out into a world that desperately needs someone that will love them for who they are to do exactly that. The one thing that, it's not the only thing, but the one thing that has come out of this whole fruit of the Spirit study thing, at least for one of your preachers, is that who I am out there as a man of God, not as the preacher, but who I am out there as the man of God matters. And how I look at those people that are different, and how I talk to those people that lead a different lifestyle than I do, and how I look at the teenagers who my first thought is, he's a thug, and how I look at those who are doing things that I shouldn't. It doesn't need to be this bring the hammer. It needs to be come with the spirit of love. Because I've had the hammer brought on me, and I've had the spirit of love brought on me. And in the one moment in my life when the spirit of love needed to be brought the most, when I was going kind of at least a little bit the wrong direction, I had enough friends and enough brothers who were gentle and who were controlled by the Spirit of God to wipe away tears, but then to hold accountability and to say, come on, let's go. And what's interesting is one almost drove me away from the church, and one brought me way closer than I'd ever been, because one had a spirit of gentleness. Now think about it in regard to your families. How often do you need a spirit of gentleness? Okay, a whole bunch of you have little ones, and I don't know how you who have little ones and have multiple versions of little ones do it. I had one little one, and I just now started liking him because he went to college, and he's gone. I don't know how you do it, but you practice gentleness. It doesn't mean you're a pushover. It doesn't mean you stop parenting. It doesn't mean you become their buddy. You're still their parent, but you practice gentleness. Some of you live with a spouse who's not always nice and who comes home from work a little bit grouchy, and you've got to practice a spirit of gentleness. Now, again, it doesn't mean that you're a pushover, and it doesn't mean you let him do sin upon you, but you got to have a spirit of gentleness. Some of you live and work in places that are rough and that are difficult and that are hard. And there are moments, I see it in Moses' life, when Moses gets mad and Moses gets angry, but yet it's still going to say in the text that he's a gentle, meek man. There are moments you may need to bite your tongue. And there are moments you may just need to practice gentleness. Because God's been gentle with you. The more I think of all these qualities, the more I think about the characteristics that God wants His people to have, the more I think every single one of them was found in the Father and found in the Son. Paul says twice, imitate me like I imitate Christ. Okay, my call to you this morning is you imitate Christ. And I hope you can see people in this room, and I hope you can read of characters in this book, and I hope you can go back in your past and you can see men and women who acted like they were controlled by the fruit of the Spirit, that I hope you'll emulate them as hopefully they were emulating Christ, and you'll go out into a world that is desperate for something good in the midst of it, that those good things come from God's good people. We're pretty good at practicing it with ourselves. I'll be honest, I think most of these fruit of the Spirit attributes we've been talking about, we are great with when in regard to each other. How are we out there? Okay, here's what I see when I see Jesus. There are times I see Jesus pointed. When men who should know better don't do anything about it and arrogantly say, this is what I'm going to do, I don't care what you say. And Jesus gets fired up. But then all the rest of the time, I see a Savior that goes and he visits with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And I see a Savior that stands in the middle of a circle of people who are all holding rocks, and he talks to the sinner. And I see a Savior who walks up to 10 lepers, and not only are there 10 lepers who he shouldn't be around, but one of them is a Samaritan, and he's not even liked by most of the other people, maybe except for the other 9 lepers, and he touches them all. And I see a Savior who sits in a room where he's just announced he's about to die, and a woman comes and anoints his feet and his body with oil and tears. And people get mad and they get frustrated, and Jesus says, don't. And I see a Savior who is gentle with your preacher, and I see a Savior who's gentle with you. And so my call is let's be that in a world. We're going to sing a song in a second that Wayne has chosen. Poor Wayne, when we talk on Monday and they say, Wayne, you got to lead songs about gentleness and meekness, and there's like 3 in the whole songbook. We're going to sing a song. If you need something, I'm going to be right here in this corner. Michael is kind of back in the middle, and we've got elders all over the room, and they're going to be at all the doors. If you need help, if you need strength, if you just need someone who can gently help you get guided back to God. That's what we're here for. So if you need something, let us know as we stand and as we sing.